Welcome to Bible Insights with Wayne Conrad. The entrance of your words give light, and they impart understanding to the simple. Today's topic, the restored Peter. Or we could say, Peter restored and recommissioned. That's longer, probably more accurate, but the restored Peter. You see, the last look that we had with Peter was where Peter had been a denier of Jesus. In the moment of trial for Jesus, despite all of his protestations that he would be the one apostle, if all the rest fail, he would stand by Jesus come what may. But in the hour of trial, when people confronted him with, "Aren't you one of his disciples?" he denied it and said, "I don't know the man." And he got so heated that at one point, he even denied it with cursing himself. Well, that's a terrible thing that happened, and it hurt the heart of Jesus. And when Jesus looked at Peter as he was being escorted from Annas' place to Caiaphas' place, it says that Peter broke down and wept bitterly. So we know that that's the beginning of true repentance. He knows what he's done. He acknowledges what he's done, and he's doing it with bitter tears. On the day of resurrection, which is 3 days later, Jesus made a special appearance to Peter. In fact, when he met with the women, first of all in the garden, Mary Magdalene and then those two other women as they were leaving at some other point, he told them to go and tell his disciples that he was risen. And they made his point, go and tell Peter. 1 Corinthians 15, Paul records that Jesus first appeared to Peter as the first apostle that he appeared to, and then later to the other apostles. So at that point, we can project or know by inference that Jesus and Peter have come to a point of reconciliation, and that Peter has been personally forgiven for his sin, for his transgression, for his denial of the Lord Jesus Christ. But Peter, you see, was the chief of the apostles. Christ himself had appointed him that when he became Peter the Confessor. But he had have lost that position in the sight of the other apostles and disciples by his failure to acknowledge Jesus. And all of them knew what had happened. All four gospel accounts record Peter's denial of Jesus. John, however, gives us the warm and wonderful picture of the restoration of Peter to his apostleship, to his position as leader of the pack, shall we say. I want us to go to this third appearance to his disciples, this special group, the apostles we call them. And it happened, let's say, maybe on the third week of his resurrection life. Because they're in Galilee at this point, and Peter has told them, "I'm going fishing." And so he went fishing. And they toiled all night and didn't catch anything. And the next morning, or as the dawn is coming, John and Peter notice a figure on the seashore. They can't quite distinguish who it is, but as they draw a little closer, John knows that it's Jesus, and he tells Peter, "It's the Lord." And what does Peter do? He doesn't go back. He doesn't slink away. He's a man who's been restored to favor and has been forgiven of his transgressions. He jumps in the water. He puts his clothes on, because he didn't have any on, and he runs or he wades to shore, more than likely. I think they were around 600 feet out. At any rate, he's eager to get there, and he's the first to meet Jesus on the shore. And when he does, there's Jesus cooking breakfast for all of them. He's cooking fish. It's outside. We'd probably call it charcoal cooking down here in Texas. At any rate, Jesus has prepared breakfast for them, and he tells them to come and eat. But as the breakfast draws to a close, Jesus turns to Peter in a very personal and intimate conversation. It's a point at which Peter is refreshed in his leadership by Christ reinstating him to what he had been before. This is how it took place. Now, they probably began to speak while still with the other disciples, and Jesus and Peter evidently got up and started walking on the seashore. Now, we know that from the way it describes John following them in the dialogue. Now, let me read it to you. I'm reading to you from the ESV. When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" Now, who are the these? Well, to understand that, certainly not more than the fish. It's when Peter had said to Jesus in the upper room that he loved him more than them, that if all the rest denied him, he never would. The others might forsake him, but he'd stand steadfast beside him. So Jesus is now asking him. And the word for love that Jesus uses is very instructive. It is agape. It's a love that God has for those that basically are unworthy of it. It's this deep, personal, affectionate love of God that goes out in self-sacrifice on the behalf of another. It's the love of deep, deep love, a godlike love. And that's the words that Peter and Jesus had used before. But now Jesus asked Peter, "Do you love me more than these?" Peter says to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my lambs." Now that's like the small sheep, the little ones. He says to him a second time, I'm sure there's some quietness, silence in between these questions. He said to him a second time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Agape me. And Peter says to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." But every time Peter uses the word love, he uses a different word. He uses the Greek word phileo, which is the love of a close personal friend. It's not quite agape level. Now, sometimes they are used synonymously, but we know that there's a distinction being made in the mind of Peter when we get to the third question and in Jesus' use of the word, because the third time, Jesus changes his word for love. He comes down a little step from agape to phileo. Listen, the second time he says to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I, phileo, I friendship love you." He said to him, "Tend my sheep." Now he's talking about the grown ones, the lambs, the little ones, and now the grown ones. He says to him, "Tend my sheep." Notice that with the lambs, it says, "Feed my lambs," because the young ones need nourishing. They need food. The next ones, the more mature ones, "Tend my sheep." Now, that involves not only feeding them, but it involves keeping them in line. It involves restoring them when they may wander off the path. "Tend my sheep." Jesus said to him the third time, "Simon, son of John, do you phileo," that is, "do you friendship love me?" Do you love me as a friend? He said to him, well, Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." And Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep," the grown one, and the lambs. Let me read it to you from the Amplified Bible, first edition of the Amplified Bible. where it makes this distinction that I want us to feel in this passage. When they had eaten, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these others do? Do you love me with reasoning, intentional, spiritual devotion, as one loves the Father?" And he said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you, that I have deep, instinctive, personal affection for you as for a close friend." He said to him, "Feed my lambs." Again, he said to him the second time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me with reasoning, intentional, spiritual devotion as one loves God, the God kind of love?" And Peter responds, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you, that I have a deep, instinctive, personal affection for you as for a close friend." He said to him, "Shepherd, tend my sheep." He said to him the third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me with a deep, instinctive, personal affection for me as for a close friend? Do you love me like that?" Peter was grieved. He took it ill. He took it as a hurt that he should ask him the third time, "Do you love me?" I wonder why. Well, it's because of the use of the words, the two words. Jesus came down. And more than that, three times Peter had denied Jesus with his words, "I do not know him." Three times Jesus gives him the opportunity to not only say that "I know you and I confess who you are, but I love you." Do you love me? Do you love me as a close friend? And he said, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I have a deep, instinctive, personal affection for you as for a very close friend." Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep." This is Peter being restored to the full favor of leadership in the apostolic band. But Jesus is not through. He goes on and he says to Peter, "I assure you, most solemnly I tell you, when you were young, you girded yourself." That is, you put on your own belt or your own girdle to bind up your clothes. And you walked about wherever you pleased to go. But when you grow old, you will stretch out your hands, and someone else will put a girdle around you and carry you where you did not wish to go. He said this to indicate by what kind of death Peter would glorify God. And after this, he said to him, "Follow me." Now, we could just end it here, and it would be a glorious end. But there's one little thing. You see, John has been following behind. Now, John is probably the closest friend to Jesus. And here it says, Peter turned around and he saw the disciple whom Jesus loved following. So we know they've been walking. And the one who had also leaned back on his breast at the supper and had said, "Lord, who is it that's going to betray you?" And in fact, Peter had put him up to that. And Peter told John, who then told Peter, who was going to betray him. And when Peter saw him, that is when he saw John, he said to Jesus, "Lord, what about this man?" See, Jesus had just told him, "You're going to suffer for me." And he had prophesied by the figure of speech that he used that he would be crucified for him. He wants to know what's going to happen to his buddy. What about John? What's going to happen to him? Is there a distinction? Well, Jesus said to him, "If I want him to live, if I want him to stay, if I want him to survive until I come, what is that to you? What concern is that of you? You follow me." Now, possibly when John wrote this gospel, Peter had already been killed. We don't really know. He is the last gospel writer. Peter was killed sometime in the 50s, and I didn't check before this broadcast as to when we believe John's gospel was written. But John knows that Peter is going to or did die by crucifixion, because John, when he wrote Revelation, was certainly many years after these events. But notice these things that I think we can take away. You know, sometimes we fail the Lord. Sometimes we actually deny that we are Christians, deny that we know him. For shame or for pride. It's sinful, though. It's very sinful. It's hurtful to our Lord. It's a betrayal of him. But you know, Jesus is so willing and desires to forgive us, and not only to forgive us, but to restore us. He doesn't hold it against us. He doesn't hold it over our heads. He restores us to where we are in his favor, and he restores us even when we fail in the work we do for him. He restores us back so that we can continue to do what he's commissioned us to do. Sometimes Christians have trouble restoring other Christians who fail. We need to take our lesson from Jesus. And also, we need to be careful that we don't do this sin that Peter was on the verge of doing when he talked about John and he said to the Lord, what about him? We don't need to be concerned about the Lord's will for another. We need to follow Jesus. Wherever he's directing us, whatever he's telling us, whatever obedience he's asking for us, whatever task he's given us, follow him. Do what he has told you to do. Do what he has commissioned you to do. And leave the rest, even as your close friend, in the hands of the Lord. The Lord will not fail you or the one you care for. This has been Wayne Conrad with Bible Insights, reminding us that Jesus loves us and he wants us to love him with a deep, deep love, a godlike love. For that's the greatest commandment. Lord, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. Self-sacrificing love. Because Jesus, the one who died for us, is worthy.